Will the young people come and join me? It's so good to see you guys. Your sister
does.
That's cute.
I do.
Okay, all right. Good. Do you help? Joshua, are you a big helper for cleaning the house?
Yeah, one time I was putting up my hot wheels and he started digging up and going away too.
Well, that's just so cool. That's how we help. Well, you know, we are starting the Lenten season. And Lent is the time where we start cleaning house. And do you understand about cleaning house, how that might mean something in our lives? What do you think that would mean if we think about Lent as cleaning house? Do you think that means the house that we live in? What do you think that might mean? Cleaning our heart. That's right. That's what Lent's about, is cleaning our house that's inside. You can let it go. You're just going to go back to that. He's heading out, buddy. It's we at Lent start to talk about cleaning our hearts and about repenting for our sins in case we, this in this whole year that's gone by, that we have walked away from Jesus because the world takes us away from the Lord. And you guys don't see it too much, but you will see it more and more as you get older. And now that we're adults, we see it all the time. The world tries to take us away from Jesus. But fortunately, we have Lent. And in the church, Lent brings us back so that we can clean our house, our hearts, and that we can start walking closer with the Lord again. So that's the cool part about Lent. So let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you so much for Lent because it gives us a time where we can clean our own house in our hearts and that we can make sure that we're drawing closer to you and that we can turn away from all those things in our lives that would take us away from you. We pray right now that you would use this season to draw us closer to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I don't think we have junior church today. We don't have junior church at this. Okay, and so you get to hear the missionary today. You guys are so lucky you don't have to go to junior church. Okay, so get your goodies there. We are so fortunate today to have Erica Thompson. It's Thompson, John. Thompson. with us. And she's going to share with us about the work that she's been doing in Haiti. And our IT guy is at retreat, and I didn't realize he was going to be gone. So, do you have a DVD or something? Or?
Well, I did have some pictures.
Okay. Oh, but that's like in a PowerPoint. I don't know how to do that. Oh, so we could put that in then, maybe?
We'll say we can.
We said we can. Okay. Well, if we have enough time afterwards, then we can see some of those pictures. Because I'm technologically challenged.
It is a blessing to be here with you this morning. I appreciate your invitation to come and share with you about my ministry in Haiti. First of all, to share with you about the calling that God put on my heart. I began ministry with OMS in 1999. I applied with them. As a teacher, I had many teaching applications around me as I sat on the floor and I was considering, after having had an experience in Mexico City and seeing that missions was much bigger and much different than what I had imagined it to be, sensed that possibly God wanted to use my skills in a way that was different than what I had planned out. I had a plan for my own life, my own plan for what I wanted to do. Began to see, as God opened up John 6 to me, that the plan that is best is for us to be, for me, for all of us, to be willing to see ourselves the way God does and to see the skills that He's given us in a different way, possibly, than what we might imagine it to be. When I read that passage, what I saw was the little boy, and I saw myself. I saw myself like that boy because he's a boy who went to the event to see Jesus. The people were there. He had food with him, just enough to feed his family. He had what he thought was adequate for the plan that he had in mind. And I don't think that he expected that Jesus was going to call on him that day to give his lunch. But when Jesus asked him to bring it, when the disciples came to him and brought him to Jesus, he didn't ask any questions, or at least there aren't any questions from the little boy here in the passage, to say what I was saying to myself as I read it, which was, is it really, are you sure you've got the right person? When I was reading this and thinking about how willingly that little boy just gave what he had, not knowing what God could do with it. And in my own heart, I saw myself as sort of inadequate. I had a lot of reasons why it couldn't have possibly been me, and yet holding my hands open just because God said, will you do this, was much like that little boy giving his lunch over to Jesus, and he didn't have to do anything, just be willing to do that. In obedience, he gave it. And because of that obedience, and because of his focus on Jesus, that he just do what Jesus asked him to do, that God brought the increase, and that was one of the things that moved me to see that even though I have a list of reasons and I have a plan for my own life, that God has a greater plan, and that it wasn't me that brings the increase. It's not me that brings increase in ministry or in anything that we do, that we think we're doing for the Lord. It's not us that brings that. It's us that gives willingly, obediently to the Lord, and then he is the one that gets the glory when the increase comes. And so that was the call. That was one call on my heart. But my initial move to missions was into Mexico City. After having gone there, I was committed to go back there, partly because that was where my experience was, I think. But I spent a year in Mexico City teaching at the mission school, the OMS mission school in Mexico serves only missionary kids, doesn't teach, there are no nationals in the school. That was one of the things that God knew was on my heart, to teach national students as well as missionary kids. And having served the Lord a year in Mexico, then I ended up going back to raise funds, and that was a difficult process to go back and return to the field for a short term. And that was another growing process in my own faith, but then found myself in Haiti. And I went willingly for 3 weeks and then returned there, kind of another point in my life where I had to let go of what I thought I was going to be doing and be willing to say, okay, Lord, this is the opportunity that you put in front of me. Even if it doesn't look like my plan, I'll go that way. And I found myself at the end of my sidewalk in the home where I ended up spending 4 years, at the end of the sidewalk, saying to the Lord, looking over some Haitian land, our campus there, and the Haitians are coming and going. And I stood there and I said, I do not want to be here. These are not the people that I love. I don't know why you brought me here. I'm not going to walk across the yard again and talk to these people. And the Lord got my attention and said, you don't want to be here. And brought me back to that passage again. You may not want this, but this is my will for you. And so I made a commitment to the Lord that if he would teach me to love those people, that I would try to do that. And one of the ways that he has taught me to do that is just to see their focus Some of you may have, and if we get to the video and some pictures of sort of aftermath of the recent earthquake there, it's not as recent now as we've got Japan in the very recent news. It brings back a lot of memories in some way. For us, the main part of OMS ministry in Haiti is in the north of Haiti. And the school that I'm teaching at is probably 90% Haitian students at this point. But they must speak English at their grade level, and they must, we look over their academics and those kinds of things to accept them. We also have missionary kids. The children of missionaries. We have business community children. The parents are business owners or business people. The pastor's kids and those folks are coming to our schools. But some of them, some students that we have, don't really have an influence anywhere else in their lives for Christ except for when they come to Calvin School. And then they meet up with, we have a Christian curriculum that we follow, a Becca system. If any of you have used some of that, it's good for homeschooling as well. We use that curriculum, and it very clearly points to the Lord in a lot of places. Also, the MKs, the missionary kids, many of them have expressed already a ministry desire in their own lives, and also the possibility is always there. They've already begun to mention missions as a career, some of them. And so we get excited when we have the opportunities for those kids to be planting seeds amongst the other kids as well. But one of the things that I kind of digressed to make sure that I told you a little bit about the ministry that I'm involved in at Calvin International School, but one of the things that the Lord used to help me see a picture of the Haitian people is something that you may have witnessed as you saw the news after January 12, 2010. And that is it's before that earthquake happened, and now, and continuing on, they have many reasons for despair and darkness and a sense of a loss of hope. But what you may have seen is what CNN said. There have been reports that CNN was saying, how can those people respond that way? Because what you were seeing was people in prayer groups and worshiping all night and praying and praising the Lord and turning to the Lord. And that is a natural response that I've begun to appreciate in the Haitian people that has taught me a great deal of love for them. And it says that here, verses in Isaiah 61 paint a beautiful picture of that. Provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And it goes on there. And you will be called priests of the Lord, and you will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and the riches, and in their riches you will boast. Now, what I see there is the picture of the difference between life for any of us, but there as well. It's a dark, dark place where even the Christians are living in desperate circumstances. But the blessing is that they don't see them the same way. Because what they get to see is the difference between living with Christ and living without him. And the urgency for the Christian believers that comes from knowing what it is to live. Let's see. In mourning and grieving in ashes and in despair and in darkness. They know what it is to live that way. And yet they know that God replaces that all with joy and beauty and reasons for gladness. And they rejoice. And they are finding it urgent, as we find it urgent as the missionaries, to share the gospel with people, because the time is short. We've seen it in Japan. We've seen it in Haiti. Specifically, that earthquake happened in 35 seconds. 250,000 people lost their lives. And with cholera, the ongoing cholera epidemic has declined somewhat. But I know that in October, it was a very scary time, because just having followed that earthquake, now is the immediate loss of life. 4,000 people have lost lives to cholera, and the earth, and that begs for us the urgency of sharing in this moment, today, now, and not focusing on our circumstances, but focusing on the Lord and who can I share with today? Who will the Lord put in my path today to make a difference in their life for eternity, so that they cannot be focused on the darkness that is around them and the disparaging circumstances that they live in. But even if they have to live in them, that they won't see them, because they're looking at the Lord. And that's the beauty of our Lord, that redeems so much of our of the world around us to bring us His light. What my ministry also takes me to a rural church called Flavio. They are just getting ready to worship about this time. It is a small rural church. Please pray for the Flavio Church. They are in a time of restructuring some of their ministries and teaching. The intern pastor there is trying to teach them about worship and how the worship directors can lead, draw people into worship. Please pray for us as missionaries, because our intent is to not do ministry for the people, but to equip them so that when I'm not there, that they can be doing ministry. It's one of those things where you have to, another place in ministry, where you have to leave yourself open to what God's will is, and not focus so much on this belongs to me. That little boy could have claimed his lunch and said, this is the lunch I brought for my family. But for us to be equipping the Haitians to do the ministry, we do it alongside of them, but the intent is that we can eventually not really work ourselves out of a job, but get to a point where they are equipped and they are reaching their own people. That is the key to the whole picture, is to rejoice. One of the things that I rejoice in is the ability that I have, because we all need the Lord, is to help the Haitians to see that they are ministering to me just as much as I am ministering to them. And as I go back to close here, with that urgency, after the earthquake happened, 2 days after, I found myself at the prayer tree, where you would also see some pictures of that, where the ladies, there are hundreds of people that come to the prayer tree on Thursdays. Thursday is known as a voodoo worship day, and our prayer ladies, the ladies of the prayer tree, have this service on Thursdays intentionally to combat that spirit of voodoo. And there are as many as 300 people that gather there. And on that Tuesday after the earthquake happened, I sat and I was reading as Madame Duron challenge the people that if we're still here and we still exist on this earth, and I beg to say that to us today, because who knows, you know, in 35 seconds, in the next 35 seconds, what could happen to us, and I'll be saying that every 35 seconds now, but, you know, what the urgency of our lives will bring, what our circumstances will bring to us next, that we have it, that we have our homework to do, she would say. We have our homework to do, and if we have our hands and our feet, we should be using them and lifting them up to the Lord and using our feet to serve the Lord. And I know you have a heart for that in this church because I've heard your pastor share about that. But let me read this verse, these verses to you also to close. The challenge of the urgency of sharing and the courage to do it. Ah, Sovereign Lord, I said in Jeremiah 1, reading, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you. Further down, it says, get yourself ready, stand up, say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them today. I have made you a fortified city and an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land. I don't know who it is that you're trying to share with. I know who I'm trying to share with, and sometimes the hardest people are the people that are closest to us to share the Lord with. But this passage to me drew out some of that urgency that now is the time. And when the Lord called Jeremiah here, he was saying now is the time to do it. But the greater thing about this passage to leave you with is not that he was calling Jeremiah to share with the people, or calling us to do that, or calling the Haitian people to do that, but that he was giving courage to us to do it. Because he says, I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. It is a promise. He doesn't send us out by ourselves. He sends us out with our homework to do and gives us the courage to do it because he's stronger and bigger than our obstacles. So please take courage today. Take heart. Whoever you're sharing with, go before them and let's do this job together. I appreciate your prayer support very much, and we'll be here just a little while to answer questions later. Thank you very much.
If Erica gets the video, we will play the video while we sing our last hymn, and that way you'll get an opportunity to see some of those pictures. And well, hopefully it'll work that way. Okay. Alan, are you going to take the video?
Yes, right.
Okay, when you get that to I want to see the prayer tree. Pretty inspiring. You know, we really take it. Is there music with that?
For the little music.
Okay, we can turn that down in the audio. Please stand for the benediction. Curiously enough, it's from John 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, and this is my command, love each other. Amen.